What's up, guys? It's Jay, and coming to you on this episode is another beer show. We did a live podcast at the Newburgh Brewery in Newburgh, New York. This is in the Hudson Valley area, just north of New York City, and it was for a benefit for St. Baldrick's, which is a children's cancer foundation. We raised helped raise over $1,100, which is awesome, considering we did this whole beer tasting event absolutely free, and all the money raised was basically on tips, just the generosity of all the people who came. So thanks to everybody who was a part of it, all the breweries and distilleries. Thanks to Robbie from St. Baldrick's. Thanks to the State Street Band for playing. Check them out at thestatestreetband.net and letting us use their PA graciously, and of course Newburgh Brewing and everybody over there for hosting it. Check it out, enjoy it, and if you can, check out the breweries and distilleries if you're in the New York area. And one final note, there's a little bit of feedback issue at the beginning there, but it gets fixed. The sound does get better as the show goes on, so don't bail. Enjoy.
This is Optimus Prime, and you are listening to The Masters of None.
Masters of None.
There's another podcast out there called Masters of None. Check them out. They're very funny guys.
Craft Radio.
This is Weird Al Yankovic, and you're listening to Masters of None.
A comedy podcast that doesn't suck.
Masters of None.
We talk about and debate the best and worst of pop culture, man. Interview celebs and often make offensive jokes.
This is a comedy podcast that they say doesn't suck. Okay.
Masters of None.
Brought to you by the Simply Syndicated Network, lubricated by Blue Point Beer, and live on morelikeradio.com. Season 11, Episode 2. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Drink HB. Live from the Newburgh Brewery in Newburgh, New York, it's time to get to know your local brewers and distillers. This is the Masters of None podcast, live with your hosts, Jay, Mike, and Art.
Hey, welcome, everybody. This is a Drink HB to benefit St. Baldrick's. My name is Jay. This is Art.
You.
And Mike.
Hey.
And we are the Masters of None podcast. And once again, thank you guys for coming out. Thank you to Newburgh Brewery for having us. And thank you for all these awesome local craft beer and distillers for having us. Give it up for them, for these guys, for coming out today. Hooking everyone up some free booze. So we're kind of primarily a comedy podcast, I guess you could say, but we're all former radio guys. We used to do this professionally. Now we just do it for free beer, I guess you could say.
Yep. And business is good.
Yeah, business is good indeed. So what we're going to do this afternoon, is bring up all the breweries and distillers, let them tell you guys a little bit about themselves and what they're doing, what they're serving here today, and just a little bit about them. And then in between each one, we're going to open up the floor for questions and answers, if you guys have any questions you want to ask of these guys, if you haven't already. And we're also going to serve, we made 8 different infusions of the Newburgh beers. They were nice enough to let us do whatever the heck we wanted to their beer, which is a very bold thing for them to do. So we have some kind of crazy infusions that we're going to sample while we're doing the Q&As. And we have Andrea from St. Baldrick's over there. She's going to be serving it to you guys while we do that.
Thanks, Andrea.
Andrea's awesome.
Yay.
Yay. And you can give her tips if you want. So let's get it going. Let's bring up our first brewery here today. Let's bring up Sloop Brewing. Let's bring up Sloop. Let's give it up for Sloop.
Sloop.
Come
on, fellas, take a seat.
So, all right. So please introduce yourselves, tell us your name and your official title at the brewery.
My name is Justin Taylor. I'm the brewer.
My name is Adam Watson, and I guess I'm the business guy.
The business guy. So you guys have a similar model as Newburgh here.
Yeah, sure.
It's like he's the DJ, I'm the rapper.
Nice.
Fresh Prince style, right? So tell us a little bit about the brewery, how long you guys have been going, and where you're located, and all, you know, the pertinent info.
We started a little over a year ago. Basically, we started as home brewers. I was going down to the Beacon Farmers Market for a while and figured, why not see what it would take in order to sell some bottles of beer over there. So I got talking to them, and I said, probably have to get a license or two. And as it turns out, you really have to open an entire brewery, get all the licenses, soup to nuts, State Liquor Authority, TTB, everything. So we said, all right, why not? We did it. Got everything together, started selling beer over there. People liked it, so we expanded a little bit. Now we have a bunch of kegs doing bottles at local restaurants and bars and bottle shots and whatnot, so we're having a good time.
Wow. Nice. So it's pretty easy then, right?
It's incredibly easy, yeah. No, everybody should just go out and get themselves a liquor authority license.
I like that it's just like, you probably got to get a couple of licenses. Probably. I'm not really sure.
Turns out it's actually pretty regulated.
So where are you guys located exactly? You're across the river, right?
Yeah, we're out of Poughkeepsie.
Okay.
Poughkeepsie, New York, just up the river.
And you guys, you don't have a tasting room that people can come visit you yet, right?
No, we don't. We're a very small operation, putting in about 3-barrel batches. So it's roughly about 6 kegs worth of beer per batch.
Nice. And you guys are kind of unique for a small brewery as you guys are already bottling. So what's the process like in getting your beer into bottles and then getting that out?
Well, it all starts from our wonderful bright tanks, which carbonate the beer. Then I call Adam and a couple other people and sit back and tell them what to do. But
nice.
So we were doing it at 7 a.m. this morning.
7
a.m.
That's a long day. See, most people think that brewing is like super easy. Like, oh, it must be awesome. You just brew beer. And isn't it like the worst manual labor? I mean, not the worst, but you're not, underground mining coal or anything. But it's a lot of manual labor, isn't it?
Lift a keg up into a van 7 times a day.
Yeah. How many hours a week would you guys say you're putting in right now?
30, 40.
Yeah, it's around there. Yeah, it's a good. Takes a lot of time.
It takes a lot of time, right?
Anybody else that does 40 hours a week on beer usually goes to meetings. Wildly's like once or twice a week. Huge alcoholics completely.
Yeah, we try not to drink all the product, but every once in a while, you know.
Yeah, I used to put in 40 hours a week just drinking beer in college, but that was different. So you guys, what would you say your flagship beer is? Is it the Red Sea that you guys are pouring today?
Yeah, Red Sea or the Sour Peach is pretty popular. We've been doing a lot of that.
What has the highest rating? Do you guys watch like the beer websites, like the Red Beer and Beer Advocate?
Try not to, but I guess the Sour Peach has the highest rating on Red Beer.
What does that get?
93, I think it is.
Nice, 93. And how about the Red Sea?
What is the Red Sea? 91 or something. Something around.
I
really
watch
it. but that first one, when you first put it out there, you're just like checking it every half hour. You're like, oh, come on.
Where'd the name come from?
Oh, what's that?
The name of the brewery, yeah.
Sloop was the ship that was used to colonize and populate the Hudson Valley region up and down the Hudson River.
Yeah.
Fun fact ties us into the region and. We have a good friend that's captain on a sloop boat that's actually doing tours right now up and down the Hudson.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
What are your guys' favorite beers that inspired you to get into making beer?
I really like a lot of like the sour beers. I'm into like the Cantillon Gooses and, it starts with a lot of Belgian sours, Rodenbach, but what's really great is a lot of American craft breweries are starting to do them as well.
Yeah, especially local beers.
Newberg's had two of them on, I think, so they're good.
How about you?
Actually, I just had one of my favorite beers ever the other day. Thanks, Merrimer and Gerard, they brought it back from Belgium. It was a Cantillon beer. I forgot that it's Cuvée de something, I don't know. Absolutely delicious. I stole some yeast, so hopefully we'll use it.
Cuvée de, blah, 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 blah. French.
So we're going to open the floor. If anybody has any questions or anything for the guys from Sloop, we'll open the floor to that. And also, Andrea's going to pour the first infusion. Which one do you got there, Andrea? Saison? This beer is an everything bagel Saison. So basically, we took Newberg Saison. I basically bribed a guy who works at a bagel shop to give me like a big bucket of all the spices that they put on top of the everything bagels. And if anybody has anything to ask the guys from Sloop, you can go ahead and raise your hand and throw the questions out.
The guy that just sampled it's still standing, so that's a good sign.
That's good. He didn't die immediately. What's that?
I think of expanding.
Quite possibly. We'd like to have a tasting room.
What would be the question? What do you guys have expansion plans?
We would like to have a tasting room one day, so we're working on that.
Did you have something right here or no? No?
Okay.
All right.
That's how good of an interviewer as we are.
Yeah.
We nail everything.
Well, everybody's drunk.
What's your favorite color?
What's your favorite color wants to know?
Come on, really?
All right. So I guess we're good to go then. Guys from Sloop, give it up for from Sloop. Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it. Try the Red Sea. If you haven't, it's on tap behind the bar. They don't have a table out there. So try the Red Sea behind the bar. It's an excellent beer, guys. Well done. Thank you very much for coming up.
Thank you, Andrew.
Wow, yeah. That's not too bad, though. What do you guys think of the Everything Bagel beer? Delicious, all right.
Boo.
It's a boo. I'm from Brooklyn, so everything went bad. Yeah, too much garlic. You know, it's all a fun experiment, you guys. Yeah. They're not all going to be winners. In fact, probably none of them will be winners.
Wow.
There's an Everything Bagel in a glass.
Yeah. Oh, man. All you need is a lox garnish with this.
That's a good idea for next time.
Lox garnish.
Lox beer.
Smoked salmon beer.
Lox lager. All right, let's bring up, we have Chris here. Give it up for Newburgh Brewery, everybody. Yay! Listen to that.
Paul is being responsible behind the bar, so
Paul's he won't busy be joining us.
Responsible?
Come on.
So here we are, Chris Basso, the head brewer and co-owner. Did I get the title right? Yes?
Yeah, that's fine.
Now, you guys have hit past the year mark right now. What are you coming up on?
Yeah, we're probably around 15, 16 months now.
Wow. Nice.
Is it everything you dreamed it would be and more?
Oh, and so much more. yeah, it's been great. I mean, you know, it's fun in the tap room every week and being able to, you know, be at all different bars and things around the area. It's pretty surreal still going into a, you know, bar, especially places maybe I used to hang out in and have one of my beers. It's pretty cool.
Like which one specifically?
I know down the Diamond in Brooklyn is a place I used to hang out a lot, and they had our bitter on for months exclusively, so it was pretty fun to go there and have a beer.
Nice, and you used to be a brewer at Brooklyn Brewery, right?
Yeah, exactly. I lived in Brooklyn for a while, worked at Brooklyn Brewery for many years, and that's where I learned how to brew.
What was that? What was your first gig there? Was it the basic, you know, mopping up the floors, bottling, that kind of thing, the grunt work?
Absolutely. It was lugging around bags of malt and cleaning and filling kegs and pretty much any manual labor that had to be done.
What was the number one thing you learned working in Brooklyn that you brought here? The best lesson you learned?
I think consistency and quality, you know. I think as a professional brewer, the one thing that you have to be able to do is make the same beer every time. There's no real room for variation, as you can, you know, maybe do if you're brewing at home for just yourself. If people like your beer, they expect it to be that way every time they order it. So just being able to produce the same product consistently.
I got a question. You know. I've been to a bunch of breweries, and I mean, there's been some well-established breweries that don't have a place like this. I mean, I live near the Cricket Hill Brewery, and that's like a garage. You go in somebody's house, and you just have a couple of beers, and there's how did you come across this place? This is amazing.
I think honestly, that's part of the great thing about being in Newburgh. You know, we're from the area, but you know, Newburgh is still really affordable. It needs a lot of new business to sort of bring it back to where it once was. And so we were able to get this sort of old factory building for a reasonable price to where if we were in some other cities along the Hudson, there's no way we could do this. So,
yeah, this is amazing. I mean, this is, and you guys serve food Monday through Friday type of thing. You got the restaurant up. You got, this is just an awesome place to bring the family. You're hanging out. You got the bar. You got the big screen up there. We're projecting up TV. I mean, this is phenomenal.
It's like a big community living room. You know, it's kind of what we want it to be. We basically made a place we wanted to hang out in, and so far so good. You know, people seem to enjoy it.
With the exposed brick and all the exposed everything up here in the air duct, it's very hipsterish.
Yeah.
It's very,
maybe it's my Brooklyn roots, you know.
Yeah. I love it.
You don't need skinny jeans to get in the door, though.
Nope.
No. They're not encouraged.
It doesn't hurt, though.
My favorite thing is just being able to bring my kids here and then just letting them run around and bother everybody else while I enjoy a few beers. That may be the best thing about the brewery.
World's greatest dad. The world's greatest dad.
That's actually on their website.
Yeah, it says bring your kids. Let them bother everyone else.
Oh, yeah. It takes a village of drunks to raise a child.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I gotta definitely compliment you. Now, before you were saying consistency is such a big part of, you know, having a successful brewery, but being a new brewery though too, don't you feel like you need that first recipe? Do you always feel like you need to kind of make it better a little bit the first couple times you make it, or you wait until you have it perfected before you put it out there?
I think as maybe any brewer does, we probably tweak things along the way just to make it better as far as stability and. As far as not introducing oxygen and things like that, yeast health. Yeah, I think we make improvements along the way, but not to where it's really changing what the beer is at its core. And especially you know, your average person that has your beer every couple weeks would never, you know, think it's a whole new beer. So there is a range you can stay in, you know, to still have it be, you know, whatever, Newberg Brown or Newberg, you know, Pale Ale or whatever. But, you know, you're always trying to make it, as far as quality goes, you know, make it better and better and, you know, more sort of,
yeah, that technically perfect, if you will.
Right.
And I definitely give you guys props because you've definitely made some crazy beers, man, like using different ingredients, like Cafe Sour, like the Chili Lime Stout. And how much pressure is there on you to make these beers using these different ingredients to not suck? Because it seems like a big investment to make that much beer of something that you're really going out on a limb using some of those ingredients on.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's my culinary background. I see it more as like coming up with a special, you know. we don't do test batches, so 20 barrels at a time, and it, yeah, it's kind of, so far so good, you know. We're on our 22nd brew or something like that, and I don't think any of them have sucked yet, but you know, some do better than others, and that's to be expected in the craft beer world. You're never going to please everybody, and you know, I think it's fun to make a sort of statement on flavor, whether it's, you know, the chili lime stout. If you don't like spice, you know, you're not going to like it. The Cafe Sour, if you hate coffee, sorry, you're not going to like that beer, you know.
Right.
But for people that do like coffee or do like spice, you know, it's something really interesting for them to try. And even the people that don't like those things, just seeing those beers have existing maybe gives them a different perspective on what beer can be.
Yeah, it's cool just to taste something like the Chili Lime Stout. It's like, just like, wow, holy crap. Like, this is a beer. I've never had a beer like this.
Yeah.
You know, and it's definitely a cool experience.
Also, too, I mean, when you have a beer, it, you know, pairs with certain type of foods. Now with you guys, it's different varieties and stuff like that. How much fun do you have testing out this beer with a certain type of food? Do you guys kind of still, like, do that at all?
Yeah, I mean, I do that on my own. We on our menu, we have, you know, suggestions for the beers we have on tap and what they might go with on our menu. We actually cook a lot with our beer here in the tap room. So, you know, brown ale's in a lot of things, cream ale, saison, things like that. We try to use it in a lot of the cooking itself, which is, you know, a sort of a different way to pair.
Okay.
And then generally speaking, if you're cooking with it, it will then go nicely with that beer as well. But we have a lot of fun. Hopefully we'll be able to, now that we're sort of settled in after this first year and a bit, we'd love to start doing our own beer dinners here,
nice.
You know, on a sort of off night or something, and really, you know, have the whole room for a nice private sort of nice. Small, intimate beer dinner, which would be pretty cool.
Who is your benchmark? Like when you're trying these new beers and these new flavors and stuff, who's the person that you give it to and go, okay, if they like it, I this will probably work.
I don't know. I guess it depends. If I'm trying to please the really sort of super beer fans, or if I'm, you know, your average beer drinker. It all depends, you know. If my dad likes it, it's probably, you know, the average beer drinker is gonna really enjoy it. If my mom likes it, then everyone, I guess, is gonna like it. She doesn't like beer. And then, you know, it depends. Some of the other brewers, I always love having them around. So, like, on a day like today, you know, I think we all like getting each other's opinions on things.
Yeah.
That's always sort of a nice thing to go by. If another brewer, you know, that you respect, like all the guys here today, like it, that's that usually makes me pretty happy with it.
See, kids, the lesson here is always trust your mother.
Exactly.
That is the lesson.
Always listen to
right?
your mother.
Always listen
she
to
knows.
Your mother.
Yeah, right then.
That beer is good, Jeffrey. You eat it.
All right.
Go ahead.
You'll
make
notice
it.
She's not drinking beer.
She's like, thank God the distillery's in here today.
Yeah.
All right, let's do our next infusion. What do we got next, Andrea? All right, this is the Mango Rogan Sour. This is a Rogan Sour, and it's infused with some fresh mango. What are the odds of this being good, Chris, since you would know these things?
I feel like this has a high success chance.
High success rate? This
yes.
This is our
make sure,
here.
Yes.
Andrew, well, make sure Chris's mom gets some. I want to make sure she says it's good or not.
I was actually going for a horned melon. I couldn't find it, so I went with a mango.
Well, we fermented it with Brettanomyces, which what
fancy.
I find when we use it in primary fermentation is you get a lot of those really wonderful tropical fruit flavors. So I think that's really going to go blend well with the yeast character. And then the sour and tartness, you know, that's always nice with fruit. So,
also, my favorite baseball player is George Brettanomyces. Nothing.
You say,
no.
Steve.
Kansas City Royals.
I thought
anyone?
You said Steve Yeast character.
All right, let's open up. Anybody have any questions for Chris? Yeah, right there.
There.
All right.
What's
your favorite beer that you've brewed so far? Was the question.
So hard.
Oh, they're my babies. Every time I drink one, I have a little funeral.
If you were to, you know, count what beers I drink throughout the week, probably I still drink the most cream ale and pale ale. You know, I definitely like sessionable beers. That's why we tend to brew those beers. Bitter's coming back next week. I love that beer when we have it. And I actually lowered the ABV a little bit from last batch. It's only 3% now. So the lower the better for me as far as ABV goes. So yeah, but the cream and the pale ale are the ones I drink the most of, you know, on a consistent basis. But the Cafe Sour I'm real proud of. I really am loving the Rogan Sour. The Ace is Wild was really cool.
Yeah,
I was pretty proud
of
that one.
So yeah, all of them.
They all have their moments. They all have their moments.
Any other questions for Chris? Yes. He wants to know what kind of style the new IPA that you guys have announced is going to be.
Hop Drop, double IPA. Named because we dropped a bucket of hops on the floor when we were making it. So the name was born. But it's definitely a real American, you know, double IPA style, West Coast, if you will. I think it's got a Newberg twist, though. I love English malts, English hops. So there's a little bit in there to sort of what I think gives it some balance in that respect. But, you know, Simcoe's, Amarillo's, a lot of classic American hops. So, yeah, nice and nice hop aroma and bitterness, about 9%. So, yeah, definitely the most American IPA we've done to this point. You know, we don't do a lot of those sorts of things. You know, our only IPA we have is a English style. So this is, yeah, the first real American IPA we've done to this point. So,
Andrew, don't forget about us, Andrew.
Yeah.
When's that one coming out of the IPA? So I can be ready.
There's a slim chance by next Friday, but probably the week after.
All right, cool.
You dropped a bag of hops.
You didn't drop this stuff on the floor, so it's called
the floor, yeah.
It's called the Weird Hairs.
Yeah.
Weird Hairs
idea. 5-second rule ale.
Thank you very much. Question over here?
Is it good?
No. Yes! What do you guys think of the mango Rogan Sour?
Who had the mango?
Just put your thumbs up or thumbs down. Like
anybody
the
like it? Anybody like thumbs up over there? Yeah.
Thank you. Yes, thank you.
Nice. Thumbs down. Thumbs in the middle, thumbs up in the back. All right, look at that, Art.
Do I get a thumbs up? Do I get two
right
thumbs up?
There,
do I get three
right
thumbs up?
What do you think, Chris?
I give that a thumbs up. That's a good one.
It's very tart.
Do you guys do the blueberry syrup in the Woodruff? They kind of
exactly.
It kind of works. Yeah.
Yeah, we do fruit fruit and the sour beers. I think are just, you know, made for each other. So
Jay told me whoever made the best beer concoction gets the apprenticeship here, right?
Yep. That's what I heard. Yeah.
Yeah, you get to come off the floors. That's
yeah,
a great
sure.
prize.
Yes. If you were to work 40 hours a week for free. That's great.
Yeah. Awesome prize. All right, give it up for Chris Basso from Newberg, everybody.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, bud.
Thanks very much, man.
Thanks for having us, man.
All right, let's mix it up a little bit. Let's bring out our first distillery of the evening from Tuttletown Spirits in Gardner. Let's bring in Gabe Lorenzo.
Hey! It's our old pal.
Cheers, sir.
Cheers.
Up. Cheers.
Cheers.
How are you, man?
Good.
How you doing?
Thanks for coming out. Gable's been a guest on our show before. He was nice enough to have us come down to the distillery in Gardner and give us like a full whiskey and spirits tasting, and we did a show called The Poser's Guide to Whiskey, which was really cool. If you check that out on iTunes, you can look up Masters of None. We're in the podcast section. You can go back to the older shows. So, the man who lives the charmed life of traveling the country and the world, pouring delicious whiskeys and spirits for everyone. What's that like?
Well, it's the dream job for a 25-year-old single guy, which
I'll
I am
say.
Not. I am not a 25-year-old single guy.
You tricked me.
It's a wonderful job. I do. I travel around. I buy cocktails for people. I talk about whiskey all the time. I know. You guys don't have to feel bad for me. It's okay. But you're all welcome to come to the distillery, and you can kind of see me in action. I'll give you guys tours and you know, see what a brand ambassador does for a living.
Yeah, brand ambassador. Now, did you also do the distilling when you guys started out? You got your hands dirty in there? Or?
Yeah, so I'm not just a brand ambassador. I'm also one of the owners of Tuttletown, and I was a production manager and head distiller for about 3 years. So the best way to learn the brand inside and out that you're going to be selling is to actually produce. So when we started, we had 100-gallon pot still, and there was three of us, and we were doing about 50 gallons a week. Now we've got 4 pot stills, about 26 employees, and we're doing about 4,000 gallons a month right now. So
Jeez.
We've been growing, but still our family, our small family operation.
That's right awesome. On. That is just awesome. Tell us about the new special reserve that you brought out here, man.
It's almost exclusive. Is this literally the first time you're pouring the maple rye here?
Yes, I snuck a special bottle out. Unfortunately, I only have a couple drops left, so if you haven't tasted it yet, I feel like I'm going to get bombarded when I get back to the table. But I'm sure you guys have seen maple and honey whiskeys coming out these days, right? A lot of flavored whiskeys. What makes ours unique is that we're not actually adding sugar to it, which means that it's actually a whiskey, not a liqueur. If you look clearly on the label of a lot of these maple-flavored whiskeys, they're actually going to say whiskey liqueur. It's because you add sugar to it. So what we do is we've got this guy who's been buying our barrels from us for years, and he buys our barrels after we dump the whiskey, so freshly dumped wet wood barrels. We send them to him, and he fills them with maple syrup. And then he does a bourbon barrel-aged maple syrup, which is just exploding. The brand's been doing really well. It's fantastic stuff. You could come taste it at our distillery. But he needed more barrels, and he clearly wanted a better discount. So instead of arguing with him, I said, I'll just give them to you for free if you send them back to me when you're done with them. So
genius.
So he dumps the maple syrup out. He sends me 10 freshly dumped maple barrels. I send him freshly dumped bourbon barrels. And we've been starting to fill those barrels with whiskey. So the rye whiskey that we're about to release in late September is a rye whiskey that's been aged in the barrels that previously held the maple syrup that previously held the bourbon.
That's what the corporate folks call synergy right there.
That's right.
It's the inception whiskey.
I've already talked to a couple of brewers here who would like to see some of those barrels after we dump the bourbon out.
Toss those my way when you're done again with those. Yeah, I've had many fights with my wife over buying the $30 bottle of bourbon barrel maple syrup that you guys sell in your distillery. But it is freaking delicious.
It's a great way to incorporate bourbon into your breakfast, for sure.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. That's why I always let her buy it. I'm like, all right, it's $30 for maple syrup. Yeah, sure. The Hudson Whiskey brand has just been, like, just getting accolades now into Europe, right? You guys are distributed in Europe now?
Yeah, we've got distribution throughout Europe, also in Australia.
Wow.
Haven't quite hit Asia yet, and that's just because we don't have enough to sell.
Yeah, you can't make that much.
We've got demand there, but the Hudson Whiskey is what we're known for. That's our main flagship. We've got 5 different types of whiskeys that we produce all from local grains up in Tuttletown. So we do a bourbon, 2 bourbons, the baby bourbon, which is all corn. We do the 4-grain bourbon. We do a rye, single malt, and also an unaged corn whiskey.
Have you guys thought about changing the corn whiskey name to just moonshine to just capitalize on the craze going on right now?
Never even crossed my mind. No. It's all a gimmick. There's nothing that you're going to buy in the store is actual moonshine. The only reference or the only definition of moonshine is that it's an illicit alcohol. It doesn't matter what it's made from as long as you don't pay your taxes on it. And we always pay our taxes on time.
This man has a wealth of knowledge when it comes to whiskey. It's just amazing. Like if you listen to the show, The Poser's Guide, it's just everything I know about whiskey I learned from that freaking show.
Mission accomplished.
Yeah, dude, it's great.
Yeah, and even if you're not a fan of whiskey or spirits, now's the time to try it, because even when they come to the distillery in Gardner, you got to pay for the tasting.
That's
like,
right.
This is free here. Like, this is top shelf spirits here, all made locally. And the bottles you sell, because you guys can't make enough, are like half the size of normal bottles, yet they sell for almost more than a full-size bottle in the store, right?
Yeah, we like to say it's an ultra-premium price point on the whiskey. The gin is a little bit more priced accordingly to cocktails, as is the vodka. So the whiskey is a separate entity, really, for us. And that's globally distributed through William Grant & Sons. But Tuttletown still produces gin, vodka. We've got another variant of our vodka coming out in fall, another variant of our gin coming out in fall. But we do a number of things that are mostly produced and distilled, mostly distributed just here in the Hudson Valley. So you should come over and taste our vodka, which is made from apples, our gin, which is wheat and apples. We got some really cool bitters, too.
I want to get a shirt that says ultra premium and just wear that around.
I like that, with just a little whiskey, the Hudson Whiskey outline.
There you go.
Look at this.
Merchandising.
I'll send you some royalties on that one.
Hudson Whiskey the Flamethrower.
Synergy right here.
So what are you serving over there? If you're not into just the straight spirits, you have a couple of concoctions you're doing over there, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm no master coctologist, but I like to keep things simple.
Made-up words.
That's kid's present. Easy.
What, isn't that what they call themselves these days?
I don't know. Yeah, it's your
mixologists,
words.
Whatever.
Your words.
Yeah. we're doing, I just brought some nice tonic and soda, which I think is the best way to experience a good vodka or a good gin. Just club soda or a little bit of tonic. I like to garnish with apples because our spirits are apple-based. That's awesome. Sort of brings it out, just bring it up to your nose, get a little bit of that apple. So we're doing, I'm just doing gin and tonics or vodka tonics, vodka sodas. Come grab one if you haven't yet.
Yeah, and like Mike said, everything he learned from sitting with you for an hour and talking about whiskey and spirits, and it's, the stuff you guys make really is amazing, and it's, you know, I'm not a big straight whiskey fan, but again, that's sitting with you for an hour and just kind of learning about it, and it's so smooth, it doesn't have that harsh, you know, all the burn that is usually associated with spirits, but it's great stuff you guys make, man, and keep it up.
Well, I appreciate it, yeah. It's, it was fun having you guys there, and this is fantastic, and for a good cause.
Yes. So don't forget to tip your bartenders.
Don't forget to tip your bartenders.
Yeah, we're going to tip the bartenders, St. Baldrick's. What's our next infusion, Andrew? Let's hang tight, Gable, in case people have questions for you.
Don't go nowhere.
Let's see what the next infusion is. So this is oatmeal cream pie ale. So this is Newberg's cream ale with Little Debbie's oatmeal cream pies in it.
Oh,
I see a lot of smiles.
Snap.
And yeses going on.
There you go.
Anybody have any questions for Gable from Tall Town?
Right here. She's the biggest fan of all this stuff. I love it. Yeah, that's it. Let's do it.
Tommy Keegan from Keegan Ales wants to know how he can get some of his hands on those whiskey barrels.
You know they're always for sale on the website, Tom. Give me a call personally. We'll work some out.
Oh, snap. Backdoor deals.
Yeah. You gotta try his whiskey barrel. What is it? Whiskey barrel?
Kitty, right? Hurricane Kitty?
Baby bourbon barrel Hurricane Kitty.
Yeah. There you go. Fun fact. The Keegan Ales beer that's on tap right now, part of their 10th anniversary series, is Hurricane Kitty urged it into the barrel, aged in the baby bourbon barrels from Hudson Whiskey. So that's what I'm drinking right now. Actually, I didn't even know that. And that's on tap right there. So definitely try one of those. It's very limited too, right?
Synergy.
So definitely try that while you're here. Awesome. Anything else for Gable? Any other questions?
I'm going back to my table. Thank you guys.
Gable and Renzo from Tall Town Spirits, everybody. Thank you, man.
We should make a beer called Synergy.
Synergy. I like it. Sounds so corporate.
It does.
We can put it in a bow tie shaped can. All right, let's bring up the homebrewers. Come on over, Hudson Valley homebrewers. Ooh, I like that one. What'd you guys think of the oatmeal pie cream ale, yeah? Thumbs up, thumbs down.
Fan number one, thumbs up.
Thumbs up across the
double
board.
Double thumbs up.
Roger Ebert smiling down from heaven.
Oh, that is tasty.
Perfect.
That is a tasty burger.
That is good stuff. Our next guest here from the Hudson Valley Homebrewers, we have President Eric Wasmuth. I said it right, yeah?
That's right.
All right, and Tom Folster, yes?
Yes.
Right on. Give it up for these guys right here.
Thank you.
This is where it all starts, people.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Right?
This is the birth.
So, Eric, you're the president, yes?
Currently, yes.
All right. And, Tom, what's your official title?
They still call a retired president Mr. President, so...
Oh, I see. So you're former Mr. President.
Yes.
I didn't see the Secret Service still following you. So
that's correct, yes.
Right on. So welcome, you guys, and thanks for coming. And you guys brought, what, 5 beers with you today?
Yes, we did.
Fantastic. What? Tell the beers if people haven't tried them yet. What do you guys have?
Well, we got over there right now a chocolate peanut butter stout.
Which is awesome.
It's actually going very positive today.
Yeah.
We have a Kolsch, and we have a
Belgian, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Belgian.
It's, Kolsch is like a light lager.
You got to get right up close to that.
Sorry about that.
That's okay.
And then we also have an American wheat, and what is... Fish piss pale ale?
The fish piss pale ale, yes.
Fish piss.
It's very interesting.
Sounds delectable.
Jeez. I do like beers with bad names. Like, here's a name like Blue Point, who is a sponsor of ours, has a beer called Toxic Sludge.
Yes.
And they originally made it because it was supposed to be like a shot at BP. It was called BP Toxic Sludge when they didn't have the oil spill. But it just was so popular, now they make cans with, like, the poison skull and crossbones on it. Toxic sludge block IPA, but it's delicious. But fish piss.
So, what do fish do in the water?
Swim?
Everything. Not swimming fish, Al. Fish piss. But right now, so tell the folks, if they want to get involved in the Homebrewers Association, how do they get involved in that?
Well, every month, every second Wednesday of the month, we meet up in Poughkeepsie, usually the Brown Derby. You know, it's on a Wednesday, and we all get together because we all like to brew beer. We all like to bring our own beers and sample our own beers, and we talk about beer. So it's not a sober hobby, but it's a lot of fun. And, you know, people that are beginners like to come and maybe learn how to brew, or even have advanced people that like to come in there and, you know, enhance their brewing skills.
So new people are always welcome to just come out to the meetings?
Absolutely, yeah. People come out, people check us out, they come to the events that we have. We'll do like a competition once a year, we'll have, you know, some type of annual holiday party, and many different events. You know, we get together, we go to do pub crawls, whatever it may be.
What's the website? You guys have a website or a Facebook page people can check out if they're interested in coming to one of your meetings?
Yeah, it's HVHomebrewers.com.
So check that out if you're interested in joining. What, do you guys have like a membership fee, or how does that work?
Yeah, it's like $20 for the year, but you get to take advantage of all the events that we do and drinking a lot of beer.
And you guys bring beers to the meeting, right?
Yeah, like we all bring beers to the meeting, yeah, and we sample those, and it's a great time.
Is there any hazing going on for the newbies?
Yeah, people have to pledge. That's
only in the beer. We have some haze in the beer, but other than that, no.
Do you guys have, like, varsity jackets, too?
There's no, like, naked slip and slides or anything like that?
Elephant walks.
That's a good idea.
Tell us about your annual contest you have, because it's a pretty huge event, right?
The competition?
How many members are in the group, first of all?
We got about 40 paid members right now, and normally when we have a competition, we'll get about 300 to 400 entries from around the...
300 to 400?
Yeah, from around the country.
So people come from around the country to just be in your guys' contest?
Well, they actually will ship beers in the mail, or some people actually show up.
Really?
Your treehouse must be
like,
huge.
What time of year?
We usually hold it in the springtime, right around March.
Right around March. And where do you have
it? And it's right near Poughkeepsie.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a great time. I mean...
See, I didn't know about this. This is part of the fun of doing this kind of thing, is I get to learn about awesome things that are going on. That's why I wanted to have you guys here, because, like, homebrewers are the base. You know, everybody who gets into this business pretty much starts as a homebrewer.
Yep, absolutely.
You're the gateway brewer.
There's also a couple of American homebrewer events, American Homebrewer Association events that we participate in every year. One of them is coming up later this year in November, is Learn to Brew Day.
Okay.
And people that are interested in homebrewing, that's a great event for them to attend. There's we usually have half a dozen or so, maybe more, of the members actually doing the brewing right there.
So it's kind of a clinic on how to brew your own beer.
That's exactly,
exactly.
It. Yep. So
and
you
when
can
is that kinda, coming up?
That's coming up, I believe it's the first Saturday in November, I believe.
Okay.
But you can check that out on the American Homebrewers Association website, AHA. And the other event they do is National Homebrew Day. That
just happened. Yeah, it's like early summer, right?
Yeah, right. Like that, and again, all us homebrewers just gather together and do a big group brew together. And
that's awesome, because it definitely is making your own beer. I don't know how many people have tried to make their own beer here. By a show of hands.
Yeah.
It's not so easy, is it?
My first batch of beer, I thought I would never brew again. It was terrible.
My first batch of beer, I never brewed again. I tried twice, because that's what the kit came with. But both times, it came out tasting like terrible apple cider.
Yes, I've experienced that too.
Yeah, and it's not easy. But once you get over that hump, I would imagine, after you've done it like 2 or 3 times, then it becomes like, oh, I can kind of make a beer that I want to drink, right?
Well, one of the things that people should know is that there's been a lot of advancement over the years in both the technique, the equipment, and the ingredients, right? So, you know, I started brewing back in the early 1980s when this wasn't such a popular thing and there wasn't as much information as there is today. So with the kits that companies are putting out now, it's a lot easier to make a real good beer.
Have you guys ever made something like you were trying to make this type of beer and then it just kind of went the other way and your result was like, hey, this is actually better than what I wanted to do?
Oh, yeah, that happens all the time. Right. Yeah. I attempted to make a pumpkin ale. This is a beer that needs spices in it, right? And spicing can be very tricky because just a little too much can put you way over the top.
I have no idea what you're talking about, like our everything bagel.
So
beer.
I'm going to add a little I'm going to add a little cinnamon, and I'm going to add a little nutmeg to this beer, right, and stuff like that. And I got it way over the top, right?
Yeah.
So I threw it in the back of the fridge and forgot about it for like 6 months. And I took it back out, and the spice flavors had finally
kind
of congealed. And I had a Christmas beer. That was exactly it.
Nice. Happy little accidents, Bob Ross used to call them.
Yes.
Yeah.
He kind of looks like Bob Ross, too. So that works out perfect.
Just grow the hair out.
Yeah.
HBHomebrewers.com is the website?
Correct. Yep.
Everybody should check that out. When's the next meeting and where? Soon.
It's going to be next Wednesday, yeah. Wednesday at the Brown Derby about 8 o'clock.
Wednesday at the Brown Derby. Hey! Get your best gal and meet you at the Brown Derby. Yeah.
Do they have swing bands? Yeah. Big Bad Voodoo Daddy player?
Yeah. Nice games!
Yeah. Hey, I was alive in the 90s. All right. For that let's week. Actually, let's do our next infusion. IPA. This is a pineapple sage IPA, the New Burton IPA here in Newburgh, infused with pineapple and sage, fresh sage, from Plan B Farm Brewery. So this is like a triple collaboration, you guys.
I didn't bring a glass.
As we say in the Pineapple, as they call it in the hip-hop world.
Thank you. You know what's bad
you
when she
spell,
says...
You can't spell pineapple without IPA. That's what I say. I'll be here all week. All right. Any questions for the Hudson Valley Homebrewers?
Tastes like a lollipop.
Anything at all?
Mmm, tastes good.
The question was, what do you guys recommend people start? Like, as far as equipment-wise or a kit? Or what kind of beer do you start with?
I would definitely
what's your favorite beer?
Then brew that.
So brew whatever your favorite beer first. Is.
Brew the, brew what you like to drink.
Yeah, you know why? Because you're going to be more determined to do it right.
But starting with a kit definitely helps.
Start with
and
a kit.
Extract yep. is the easy way to go.
Yeah, what's the best kit? Because I bought that Mr. Beer crap, and that was garbage.
There are lots of online distributors as well as several of them. In, around the valley, Tommy Keegan's got a homebrew store up by his place.
Yeah, yeah. Keegan Ale's homebrew store.
Even Adams now has stuff too, right? Adams,
Ferryco Farms is now starting to carry homebrew supplies.
Really?
Also, Party Creations up in Red Hook.
Party Creations in Red Hook. We got the one in New Paltz.
Oh yeah, Pontano's at the
Pontano's wine and beer in New Paltz.
There's a place down in Westchester.
What's the one in Warwick? There's another one down in Warwick.
They're all over the place.
Wow.
And Beacon,
is there one
is there
in Beacon now?
I don't know, but I'm not
Beacon.
Sure. They're all, you Google around, you can find them in many places. They're opening up all over the place.
One question per person.
Absolutely.
Any other questions for the guys from Hudson Valley Homebrewers? All right. Thank you guys very much. Give it up to Hudson Valley Homebrewers for coming out today.
Hootie hoo.
Thank you. Some beer.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, guys.
Mr. President.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
So we're right at our halftime. I want to bring Robbie up real quick from St. Baldrick's. Where's Robbie? What do you guys think of the pineapple sage IPA?
What do we got?
Thumbs up, thumbs down?
Thumbs up.
Thumbs up.
Heads
up, heads up,
seven ups, yeah. Thumbs up, all right.
After that garlic one, after that everything bagel, you had to clear your palate with a flamethrower. Really get it. Yeah, that was terrible. Oh, tastes like seawater at first, right? Did it?
What's up, sir?
Good to see, man. All right, so real quick, we want to just let you guys know a little bit. If you're not familiar with St. Baldrick's, this is Robbie, who kind of organized the whole charity portion of this thing. Give it up for Robbie, everybody, at St. Baldrick's. Now, for those who aren't familiar, just get up right on that thing. Tell people about St. Baldrick's, what it is, what they do.
St. Baldrick's is it's a head shaving event that raises money for kids with cancer. We hold an annual event in Walden every year in March. This past year, we raised $60,000, and all together, since we started, we've raised over $200,000.
Woo!
Fantastic.
Nice job. Very good job.
Nice job.
And so you guys just do different events throughout the year to fundraise, but the big one is the head shaving event, right?
Yeah, that's the big one. We shaved last year over 120 heads, I believe it was.
120 people shave their heads. That's awesome. So people basically go out, they get, like, donate pledges,
right,
to shave their heads, and then, boom.
All sorts of people. We had two fifth-grade girls shave their heads this year.
That is awesome, man.
Were they twins?
It's unbelievable.
From The Shining?
They looked like twins when they were done.
Yeah.
That's phenomenal. I would shave my head for like $1,000 right now, because I look horrendous.
I'm scared about what my head shape is.
I look like exactly. Uncle Fester bald.
You do, really?
It's bad.
Nice.
How many times have you shaved your head?
Every year.
Every year you do it?
So 6 years. This will be my seventh year coming up.
Right on, man.
Are you just tempting fate? Like if you're going to end up being bald later on, are you just tempting it at that point by shaving it? You're just like, ah.
I dread shaving my head because it's anybody that has long hair and shaves it, it gets so cold. It's ridiculous. I'm wearing a winter hat in April. It's just terrible.
What's you guys? Is there a Facebook page or a website for the local chapter?
Yes, Hudson Valley St. Baldrick's is the Facebook page.
All right, so be sure to definitely throw money in the tip jars for all the free samples you guys are getting. And there's also a raffle going on. What's the raffle for?
Two VIP tickets to the Hudson River Craft Beer Festival, which I'm hoping I win.
And they can buy those at the bar?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
All right, so buy those raffle tickets for the Hudson Valley Craft Beer Festival that's happening in Beacon, right? What, September?
Yeah, September
21st, actually.
September. Oh, thanks, Art.
Oh, you're welcome there.
Hey.
Synergy.
And definitely throw those money in the tip jars for St. Baldrick's. Robbie, thanks so much, man, for doing a great
thing. Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys.
You're doing a great job, man.
Yeah, Rob.
All right, let's bring up Plan B Farm Brewery. Plan B Farm Brewery. Let's bring up these guys.
Oh, man. Thor, ladies and gentlemen. Thor on vacation.
Chris Hemsworth.
Jesus. I just got my hair, too.
Yeah.
I had the whole thing. Do
send
I see
a vote in, everybody.
Do I do both at once?
Casual Thor.
What's
up, man?
Use that mic.
This is Evan Watson, everybody, from Plan B Farm Brewery. And these guys are brand new. They're not even, you don't even have your licensing yet, right?
We don't even exist.
This is so illegal what we're doing today.
Woo!
Thanks. Thanks, Jay.
Yeah, give it up for being illegal.
So what happens in Thor 2?
I don't know.
You guys with your comedy.
You guys.
I'll tell you what.
So tell us about Plan B Farm Brewery. I'm guessing a lot of folks don't know about you guys yet. This is their first time trying your beers and meeting you guys.
It's probably our inaugural tasting of beer as well.
Sweet.
In a public forum, I imagine. So we're a little farm, and on the other side of Mountain Beacon, I can just kind of point.
Okay, yeah, right over that way. Right down yonder.
Can't get there.
Over yonder.
It's a fortnight.
2.5 miles as the crow flies.
And we're right off Route 9, and we're growing a lot of hops and herbs and
whoa.
I thought Jay was gonna make the joke. You're making the joke.
Am I that predictable? I'm gonna make that joke.
No, we grew that pineapple sage for the hit tincture, the beer tincture, the bincture for you guys. We grew that. So we're growing a lot of herbs and making seasonal beers weekly. Doing a lot of sour beers, trying to cultivate a yeast strand from our beehives that will be our main yeast strand eventually.
Jeez.
To make the first really local beer. We use all grain that's grown in New York State and all hops that are grown in New York State as well.
Jeez.
That's awesome, man. Your guys' story is cool. Like, you literally bought a little farm, moved upstate, and you're like, that's it, we're all in on this. Like, this
yes,
is it.
We're
this
idiots. Is Is that what you're asking?
Well, yeah, pretty much. I mean, I checked out your blog and your website on the Facebook page, and you guys have documented your whole process, and it's pretty insane. Where were you guys from originally?
I'm from Indiana.
Okay.
And my wife, Emily, is from Ohio, so we're Midwesterners. I moved to New York about 7 years ago, signed a record deal, and was playing music in Manhattan. And then we knew we had to have a plan B because that's no way to live your lives. You know, the entertainment
agreed.
Business is...
Yeah, it's terrible.
It's terrible.
It's a terrible...
Yeah,
terrible
Mike's a musician as well.
And if there's one thing you need, at the end of the day, it's...
Plan B.
A copious amount of... You gotta have a plan B.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's it. Yeah.
I thought it was a pregnancy scare.
Yeah, well, what's the rating on this podcast?
Explicit.
What about this general public crowd?
By the looks of them,
babies. Yeah, babies. Babies, yeah.
One of our people, one of our friends that lives with us but does not work with us, Nick.
There's Nick back there.
Tony Stark, everybody.
Tony Stark.
On vacation. Nice.
So where's Hulk? Where are you hiding the Hulk?
Suggested with the plan B. It's B-E-E, like a B, like a biz, because it's, you know, we're conditioning all our bottles with unpasteurized honey. And we use honey in a lot of her. But, of course, he made the joke that our first beer should be the morning after Pilsner.
Nice!
Stellar. That's awesome.
That is awesome.
It's terrible.
So tell us. I said that's terrible.
Thor hates puns.
So you guys applied, I would assume, for the new farm brewery license. So tell people the difference between just having a regular brewery and what a farm brewery is, because that's a brand new thing, right? They just kind of instituted in New York State.
Well, the licenses are woven out of hay, and you sign them with a pitchfork. No, the reality is it's you have to have X amount of New York grown ingredients to be a farm brewery, farm distillery, a farm winery. At this point, it's 20%. What we're trying to do is 100% from the beginning because we're so small.
that we have to, right? You have to be 100% local, grow your own by a certain number of years. What's the number of years, like 5 or something?
Well, I think it's 90%. I could be wrong, but okay. I think it's 90% is the end game.
You might want to be right when that time rolls around.
In 15 years. Well, we're doing 100% from the beginning, so we don't really care.
That's awesome, dude. So you're going to 100% grow all your own grains, hops, everything at your own farm?
Well, no. That's
Or just New York grown.
New York grown. With the goal eventually of growing our own and moving to a different place and abandoning all of our following and making enemies. And we're the Baltimore Colts.
Abandoning all hope, ye who enter there.
Yeah.
Essentially. Right on. That's awesome.
But I guess to say the benefits of the license are it's a lower fee. There's no sales tax applied to the beer you sell. And that, which is my favorite thing, is that we're going to build a roadside stand.
Yeah.
So, like, you have peaches or, you know, like, tomatoes or whatever you guys buy on a roadside stand.
Well, herbs.
Herbs. Yeah.
Herbs.
We'll have beer and maybe honey and eggs as well because we have chickens and bees.
That's awesome. And you can sell at farmers markets too, right? It's part of it.
Yes, sir.
You have like 5 locations or something like that around
yes, sir.
The area?
5 locations. You can actually have 5 actual locations that are not farmers markets, but you can sell at farmers markets.
That's awesome, man.
That's a great idea.
Good for you guys. Yeah. So what's coming down the pipe? So you guys have some stuff in bottles. Are those bottles you guys do yourselves? Or like, what's the plan as far as getting your beer out to people right now?
Well, we plan on doing... Can I get a pop screen on this? I'm getting a lot of
bees.
I'm kidding. Dude, I'm kidding.
Everybody just see that?
I'm kidding, Jay.
I tried to give you mine and poured my beer all over myself.
You got really excited. That's all right.
You look terrible. That's
pop screens.
That's how giving I am.
Anyways, what were we talking about before you drench yourself?
I think you were asking for the shirt off my back.
The bottles over there.
Oh, the bottles.
Yes.
We're conditioning all of our bottles with unpasteurized honey. So we're just doing bottles, brewing really small batches. And the idea is eventually, we don't even know. We have a bottle over there that might explode at any moment and maim a baby. So we don't really know this.
We can call it cold ale.
The idea is that they eventually get sour. For the people that like sour beers, they can hold on to it for a year or 2 years, see how it ages. It's going to age very drastically because of the nature of the sugar we use to condition and prime the bottle.
And when do you expect to get all your full licensing so you can actually sell the beer to folks?
Well, I'm just enjoying this.
Yeah,
there's no licenses. I'm like, it's like the Thunderdome.
Two breweries enter, one brewery leaves. I was enjoying it till this point where I poured the beer all over myself. So give it up for Evan and for Plan B Farmer. We're going to do the next infusion hack time in case folks have questions for you. What's the next infusion that we got, Andrea?
Cafe Sour.
This is the Newberg's Cafe Sour infused with chocolate pop-ums, chocolate munchkins, because you can't have coffee without some chocolate pop-ums in the morning. Anybody have any questions for Evan from Plan B?
Doesn't have to be about brewing. I like to field questions about all walks of life.
Yeah, just if you were curious
about
where...
Left-handed, base playing, anything.
Where babies come from, anything he can answer.
What do you guys do with the Tesseract?
What Captain America's like in real life?
I've been sworn to secrecy.
Okay, thanks.
Why is Loki such a jerk?
Because of that face. It sucks.
It is. He's got a magic stick.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Happy Farmer, everybody.
Thanks for saving the city.
You sure can, man.
We're having a luau on September 1st for Labor Day on a Sunday. We're putting a pig in the ground, and we have a pineapple sage double IPA at our place. So friend us on Facebook and come.
What is it, facebook.com/Plan B Farm Brewery?
Probably.
Probably. Look them up on Facebook, Plan B Farm Brewery, everybody. Awesome.
Luau on the first. That sounds awesome.
Clap. All right, next up is the folks from Copper Sea Distilling. Let's bring those guys up. So we have Christopher Williams and Angus McDonald from Copper Sea Distilling. Welcome, guys. Thanks for coming.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, no problem. So tell us your official titles at the distillery.
Christopher Williams, I am the distillery manager.
And I'm the master distiller, although I prefer the title Chief Bottle Washer.
Chief Bottle Washer? That sounds like a worse title than master distiller.
Yeah.
Why are you downgrading yourself? What about ultra premium bottle washer?
Well, you know, ultra premium just means the same made in China thing with the Yves Saint Laurent sticker on it, right?
So tell us about the distillery. Where are you guys located? How long have you been doing it?
Well, we're based in West Park, which is a
a subsidiary of the town of Esopus, and we're about, you know, 11 miles south of Kingston, right in the heart of the Hudson Valley, and we've been licensed for a year and producing for, you know, we've been out on the market for about 6 months now.
I had to let Christopher answer that because I lose all track of time and space, basically.
Mostly space.
please direct all questions involving numbers directly to me. Because they don't keep in Angus's brain.
All questions about facts in general. Anything reality-based should go to Christopher, please.
So you just freaked me out a little bit, I guess, I'm going to be honest.
Let your freak flag fries, guys. Together.
Hell yeah. So tell us about your flagship product that you're sampling here, the rye.
Well, this is our raw rye, which is a which is a grain forward, unaged rye whiskey. It's 90 proof. It's made from 75% local, unmalted, untoasted, sproutable rye that's not sprouted, and 25% New York State malted barley. What we're pouring here today is made this month. It's created pretty much to showcase the grain.
And you guys do the whole the floor malt thing, right?
Yeah.
Tell us about that. That intrigues me. I don't really know much about it. Well, but it's it involves putting like grains on the floor and raking it, right?
Well, it's kind of an art in its own right.
That's what it is.
We're proud to be one of only. I don't know. There's really maybe a couple dozen traditional floor malting distilleries in the world, and in America, you know, through North America, there's really maybe a handful of them, of which we are one. And it's basically giving us the ability to bring the entire process in-house, so we can go to a farm, we can ask them for their grain, and we can literally just take their grain. You know, for most breweries or distilleries, they have to get grain that's undergone this malting process, usually through, you know, one of the large malt houses in the Midwest. We can just go directly to a farm right here locally in Hudson Valley, which we do, and buy their rye or their barley or their corn and malt it ourselves in-house. And it gives us a lot of flexibility in terms of what kind of grains we can work with, what kind of flavors we can get from the grains. And, of course, it enables us to work with the farmers and to encourage small grain production in the Hudson Valley.
But the floor malting, that's when you just take it, you just dump it on the floor, and then you just push it around until it's...
Have you ever seen or yourself done the thing where you make alfalfa sprouts in a mason jar with a screen and a lid in the window?
Every Tuesday. Yeah, right? All the time.
So you see that, right?
Yeah.
So it's exactly the same process,
only
the mason jar is your entire building.
Wow.
Right.
That's kind of like letting a pet iguana just have its free reign
it's like growing a giant chia pet, really, and turning it into delicious whiskey.
Love the analogy. Love that. Great. The Chia Obama. You have that too.
Chia malt. It's, except that we don't have the one with the ears and the, you know, the
yeah, yeah. Yes.
It's not a surrogate child for us. It's something that we drink. Nice.
Where can folks get your the raw rye right now? Local liquor shops?
Yeah, well, currently we are one of the new farm distilleries in New York State, and as such, we are now allowed to sell at farmers markets. So we currently sell directly to the customer at the Kingston Farmers Market in Kingston, New York, and we're also available through Astor Wine and Spirits in New York City. They can ship nationally, and there's a Viscont Wine and Spirits in Wappingers Falls, and Stone Ridge Wine and Spirits in Stone Ridge, New York will be carrying our stuff soon. So, and then a bunch of local bars and restaurants and some places in the city as well.
Nice. Are you guys at the point yet of having, you don't have a tasting room yet, right? Is that in the works though?
We're pouring tastings here, so this is sort of a tasting room right now.
It's a mobile tasting room.
We do not currently have a retail space in our facility, but we expect to by fall.
Oh, by the fall.
Reality?
You know what? Let's push that back to spring.
Okay.
Do,
our facility is really purely functional. It's like, think of the, you know, think of any class of nerdery that you remember from high school, like that guy's room where he was obsessed with some completely obscure process, you know, whether it was D&D
or shoes,
whatever. Yeah. You know, that's what we do in our place. It's just, it's purely functional, and it doesn't smell all that good.
No.
It sounds like any of our bedrooms.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Perfect.
It's functional, doesn't smell that good.
Yeah.
What's coming up next? You guys have, I heard you're aging a bunch of stuff. Like, what's the next product that you guys are going to release?
Well, you'll see some fruit ODVs from us. Peach for sure. We have last April we got best in category for ODV for our peach ODV, which is made from local peaches. It's an unaged fruit brandy.
Wow,
and best in category, that's ODVs overall at the ADI conference in Denver.
Wow, that sounds really cool.
Nice.
Very good, man.
We'll also be doing some cherry. We're doing an aged rye that's based on green malt, which is malt that is mashed from a wet sprout. It's mashed from the actual green sprouted malt without first being toasted or roasted.
Wow, that sounds interesting.
That sounds like a lot of work.
Yeah, it is. The thing about whiskey is that whiskey is the gradual enshrinement of hundreds of years worth of mistakes.
That's pretty deep.
In the process of trying to make pure alcohol.
Yeah.
And basically, a bunch of cavemen saw somebody making pure alcohol and said, "Hey, we could do that."
And they're Scottish too. Yeah, I like it.
And as they got better and better at it, people said, "Hey, how come it doesn't still taste like, you know, mold?" We better put that back in.
It was a pleasant accident.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, nice. I like it. Very cool.
All right, let's pour our next infusion. Andrew, what do we got over there? Then we'll open up the floor for questions.
Pepper or something?
What's your pepper?
Jay.
Pepper spray?
What is this pepper one?
Pepper spray?
Paper box, Pale Ale. This is the Pepper Box Pale Ale infused with green peppers. It's kind of a salute to the chili lime stout. Maybe it could be their like third or fourth cousin.
What did everybody think about the coffee mixed with the bottles?
Let's see what's question.
No? Down on that one? Sideways? And the coffee with the poppums? No?
Which one was that?
Oh, yes.
The
coffee with the poppums? Damascus peppercorns.
The coffee with the poppums? Oh, the coffee one.
Yeah.
No, oh, the pack of leather and wet
thumbs down. The coffee one? With the munchkins? These guys like
smell,
it right here.
Yeah. Smells better than it tastes is the
Hey, I got two thumbs up right here for the munchkins.
The coffee one,
munchkins,
yeah.
The cafe sour, yeah. Right.
This one's pleasant. This one's more pleasant than I thought.
I have one more question. Thank What's you. Your favorite, like, spirit that inspired you to get
Casper.
Into making it?
That's actually a weird question. For me, it's not something anybody makes anymore that I know of.
What is it?
Brass Monkey?
There's a kind of American corn whiskey that has the flavor of spoiled corn in it.
Spoiled corn.
That no longer exists, as far as I'm aware. The last time I tasted it was about 9 years ago, and the guy who made it died.
Wow, what was it called? Do you remember?
That sounds terrible.
Yeah, corn liquor in a bottle from a farmhand at a corn
fell off a truck.
Farm.
All right.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. That's old school, like, indie spirits. Like, I like this stuff. Before it was cool, and you can't even get it anymore.
Yeah.
If it was out now, everybody would love it.
Yeah.
Well, you know how many hipsters it takes to screw in a light bulb, right?
Right.
It's a really obscure number. You wouldn't understand it.
Hey, I was screwing in light bulbs before it was cool, all right? Just so you know.
Yeah,
all right, give it up. You guys from Commerce Distilling, Christopher Williams and Angus McDonald. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Go try out that raw rye right in the back corner there.
It's really
up
hard.
Next.
It's hard to say when you're drunk.
Right.
Right.
Let's bring up Dan and Nikki from Rushing Duck Brewery, Chester, New York.
Oh, here they come. I love those shirts. Those shirts are great.
Wow, what do we think of the Pepperbox Pale Ale, you guys? Thumbs up, thumbs
Thank
down.
Thank you for coming.
Thumbs up. I like it. Thumbs down.
Thumbs down, wow.
Oh, I think it's good.
Thumb, Thumbs down. I kind of like this one.
Oh, we were one for six at least, Chris.
Thumbs up on that. There you go.
I like it.
Beer fan number one says new.
Dead on arrival.
I kind of like this, actually.
And I appreciate Newberg letting us bastardize all their beers. We know they're probably not going to be good because this is the furthest thing from our area of expertise. This is what we're kind of okay at. Making beer is the worst thing that we do, which is why the beers that we're serving over here at the Red Cooler, we suck at homebrewing. Yeah. So we come up with a recipe, send it to our friend in Arizona, and then he makes a beer and sends it back to us. We call it contract homebrewing.
Yeah.
Because we're just no good at it. Anyway, let's talk to Dan Hitchcock right here from Rushing Duck and Nikki Cavanaugh. How you guys doing?
We're doing well. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
So you guys are in Chester, probably, aside from Plan B, the newest licensed brewery here, I would imagine. And how are things going down in old Chester there?
Things are going great. We're 2 weeks out from our one-year anniversary.
Yeah, happy birthday there. Yeah, I was going to get an ice cream cake, but I thought it would melt by the time we started.
No, it's really exciting. We started out just on a word-of-mouth marketing plan, and it's really blowing up right now. Demand is just way ahead of supply, and we're just trying to keep up.
Yeah, that's basically your main goal, right? As any kind of brewery, I would assume. As long as we can keep people wanting the beer, like, as we try and keep making it, that's the goal. Because if nobody wants it and it's sitting around here, that's probably the ultimate fail as far as brewery goes, right?
Yeah, it's probably when you start reassessing what you're doing.
So 1 year, and you guys have been doing some interesting things down there too. You just released your second of your Brett beers there, right? Tell us about that. This Planet Funkatron was the first one, and what's the new one that you just came out with?
So anyone unfamiliar with it, we wanted to bring Brettanomyces, which is considered a wild strain of yeast, into the brewery. We were initially planning to do one batch of beer with it, but being that it's a highly infectious organism, we didn't want it getting into the rest of our beer. We wanted it to experiment with it. We're going to do three different beers and then get it out of the brewery for good. The first one was a wit beer with Brettanomyces. The one that we brought here, we're giving samples away in the Red Cooler over there, is a Brett beer IPA. And the third one is going to be a Brett Braggot, so it's going to have like 40% honey.
And we have two of your growlers in there. And I think after we're done with the podcast, we'll bust out the growlers. You guys want to come by the table and serve those as well?
Sounds great.
Because they're not doing any good sitting in the cooler by themselves. So if you guys want to try War Elephant, Double IPA, and the brand new Brett beer, we're going to break those out as soon as we're done with the podcast. So come over there and...
I have a confession. I think they're already broken.
They're broken. They're good. And they're very good.
Drank
them completely.
I think you guys drank it already. I think you guys drank it already.
Definitely sampled the new Brett beer, that's for sure.
It was fantastic.
And it was delicious. Tell us a story, like where'd you came from? You worked at Weyerbacher, right?
I did. I got a job working for Weyerbacher Brewing Company in Pennsylvania right out of college. I was also going to a professional brewing school at the time. I went to the American Brewers Guild. I spent about 3.5-4 years at Weyerbacher, like a lot of everyone else here, like Chris. Started scrubbing floors and cleaning kegs, worked my way up to lead brewer. And the next logical step was to open a brewery.
So where do you like come up with the funds and everything? It's like you gotta find investors, and is that part of what you thought would happen? Like while you're making the beer, while you're brewing, like getting good at that, does it enter your mind that like, oh, if I want to do this for myself, I'm gonna have to get a whole new business background as well? Like, do you have someone else who does that, or it's like, damn, I'm gonna have to learn that side of it at night when I'm not brewing, or how does that work?
Well, well, first of all, I'll definitely say that the business side of it is by far the hardest. I could make beer all day long. Managing a business is what I was unprepared for. That's actually where Nikki comes in.
So Nikki's the business mind.
Yeah, I'm a social worker turned business person.
Social worker turned brewery business person. That's an interesting twist.
Yeah, so I got a crash course in how to run the finances of a brewery. And it's been pretty good. I mean, we're a year in and we haven't failed, so.
Is that a class they offer at Ock? Is that how that works?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Orange County Community College, crash course, business brewery.
Yes.
Now, 101. If you think about it, you're doing social work for everybody now.
Yeah, now you're,
absolutely,
you're the ultimate social worker.
You're doing the Lord's work.
Yes,
you
exactly.
You really are. You really are. Where do you learn that stuff?
On the job training.
Yeah. Yes.
Basically, here, fill out these forms. Good luck.
Yeah, that's about it.
That's pretty much it.
It's funny, that's actually 100% true.
I was just looking into, like, the paperwork that goes into being like a certified home brewing like judge, like to go just be a judge at a home brewing contest, just the paperwork for that, I'm like, forget this! I don't want to be involved in this at all. This is terrible. There's like tests and classes and like, no.
Paperwork is something good that social workers do. All we do is paperwork. So that part of it I was fine with.
Yeah.
So it was all right. I mean, we're learning. We're open a year now. So, you know, it's
right.
Good.
Neither one of you are in jail yet. So that's good.
Yeah.
All right. So what's coming up next? You got an anniversary beer coming out like in the next couple of weeks, right?
We do. If anyone sampled our beer, if anyone sampled our beer, Naysayer on tap, it's an American style pale ale.
Yeah, go try that. It's over there.
It's 5.2% alcohol, leans toward the hops. Well, our anniversary beer is going to be called Yaysayer. So thank you to everyone who supported us for the first year. It's going to be 10.4% alcohol, so it's exactly twice the ABV.
Wow.
And it's going to have six times the hops, so it's going to be a pretty intense beer.
And you made up your own thing. You're calling it a triple pale ale, right?
Yeah, we're kind of just making a joke. It's obviously a style that doesn't exist. People seem to be making new styles up every day in the brewing industry, so we're just kind of playing off of that.
Such an inside brewer's joke. Like anybody drinking, oh yeah, this is triple pale ale. It's fantastic. And meanwhile, brewers are going, here.
Well, that's like us in contract home brewing. Like, yeah. We just made it up because it's just a thing. That's why I was at the brewery like last week, and he's like, oh yeah, triple pale ale is coming out. And I'm like, what triple pale ale? What does that involve? I've never heard of that. That's not a thing.
It literally doesn't mean anything.
I love that, though. Just make it up as you go.
Is your
at least it'll stand out.
Is your tattoo on your arm, is that the recipe for your homebrew? Is that...
No, this is a compound called myrcene, which is what gives hobby beers a citrusy flavor.
And is that an actual tattoo?
That's
a real tattoo?
Yep.
Show that out.
Show the folks out.
That's awesome.
Not even Walter White has a tattoo that chemistry involved.
Yeah.
It's the geekiest tattoo I've ever seen.
Pretty much.
Is that what attracted you to Dan in the first place?
Oh, yes, definitely. Yeah. And then he makes beer.
So tell folks the Facebook page, the Twitter, and all that stuff. Plug those things.
Website. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Rushing Duck, at Rushing Duck. Our webpage we kind of update, but mostly social media.
Yeah, check them out. And they're right in Chester. They're like literally a mile off 17 there. And it's weird because you would never know it's there. It's like down in the village, down behind like the bottom of an nondescript big brick building like around the corner.
It's a
boom.
Speakeasy.
It is. It's almost like a speakeasy.
We like that approach. We like
you
the speakeasy
to say
approach.
English clam chowder just to get in the door. But I definitely recommend going and check
the
these guys out. Definitely heading down there all the time and filling up growlers. Rushing Duck, everybody. Give it up for Dan and Nikki.
Woo!
And definitely come try their Double IPA War Elephant and the new Brett beer. We'll serve that right after we're done with the podcast. You guys come over and hang by the cooler there.
Great.
What's the next infusion beer, Andrea? Red. That would be... This is the River Brew Maple Irish Red infused with Cadbury's Dark Chocolate. Chris is like, I hate you guys. Why are you doing this to all my beer? You don't know how hard. This is my life's work. You guys are throwing things in it all willy-nilly. So come check out Dan and Inky over here at the table where we're doing the podcast. And we got two growlers that we'll bust out. War Elephant's really good. It reminds me of like a Pliny the Elder.
War Pigs, half cousin.
All right, let's bring up our final guest, the guys from Keegan Ales. Let's bring up Keegan Ales, everybody.
Keegan
Ales.
Please welcome our next guests. We got Jeff Wenzel and Tommy Keegan from Keegan Ales in Kingston, New York, everybody.
Yeah.
Woo!
Welcome, guys.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Thank you. It's cool for me being a local for a long time and being a craft beer drinker for a long time to meet a Keegan.
To meet a Keegan?
A Keegan, yeah.
Come to my Thanksgiving dinner one year. You'll be sick of that. I'll get that out of your system. Toot sweet.
Toot sweet.
Toot sweet. That's the best. I figured we'd have you guys on last. Show some respect as being the oldest craft brewery in the Hudson Valley, right? That's a fair assessment. 10 years?
I think we are, yeah. Well, somebody's got to keep these young whippersnappers in line, you know?
Absolutely, man.
Kids
so,
today, you know?
So, Tommy, you're an owner? Yeah, brewer.
I'm the owner and the brewmaster. Jeff really runs all the production, though.
Yeah.
Actually, he's really the general manager of the whole company at this point. He runs everything.
Cool, man. And,
so I can drink beer.
Tommy's boss, too, sometimes.
Everyone here has had Keegan Ales before, right? Hurricane Kitty, Mother's Milk, Old Capitol, just freaking awesome beer. Has been a staple around here forever if you're into good beer.
Thank
and
you.
I'm loving the new 10th anniversary series. Tell us what you have on tap here if people weren't paying attention
right now
earlier.
We have our Hurricane Kitty that was aged in a Tuttletown baby bourbon barrel.
That's awesome.
Aged for about 7 months in the barrel. So
it's freaking delicious.
Yeah, thank you.
I think you guys are bringing that because it saves me an hour drive. Because every time you guys come out with a new beer, I'm like, oh, damn it, now I got to drive an hour up to Kingston to go try that beer.
But it's so worth it.
And this is like the first, like the last year and a half is the first. I mean, you guys have been doing more and more of that kind of thing, right? Doing specialty one-offs.
Yeah, absolutely. For the first little while, we were really just focusing on our core brands, the ones you mentioned. And then we started branching out a little bit after maybe, what, 5 years? Five years, Jack?
5, 6 years.
Yeah, we, for like 5 or 6 years, we really just made 3 or 4 beers. And this year's our 10th anniversary. So we got a wild bug up our ass that we can make 10 single-release beers in a year without really thinking of the logistics of getting that to market and tank space and all that stuff. So that's been a little bit of a challenge. Actually, when the kitty that's aged in the Tuttletown barrels kicks, we have our newest of those single releases, which is a Belgian white ale, our wit. We're calling it the Dim Wit.
Dude, great name. Has that not been done before? I've never seen it before.
I have never seen it. And Jeff came up with that. It's all Jeff.
Actually, I got to give Zach credit for that.
Nobody's made it Dim Wit. That's like so right there.
So funny.
Perfect.
It was to the point where we really had the kegs, I mean, the beer in the kegs. And, you know, Jeff came up to me, he's like, okay, we've got to get a name for this beer now, because it's here. And I guess he just looked at me and called it Dimwit. I don't know where it came from.
Wow, that's a weird thing to say to your boss, like, while you're looking at him. I got an idea, boss.
This is the same guy that's punched me in the face on the radio, so being a Dimwit is, like, low on my worry scale.
Wait, he punched you in the face on the radio?
Yeah, we have a beer. Go ahead, Jeff, you tell him.
He had it coming.
That's all he's saying.
We have a beer called Black Eye.
Yeah,
it's a black IPA. And we went on one of the local radio stations, and I let Jeff give me a black eye on air, which is kind of weird. It makes for good radio.
So radio.
How is, like, you guys have been a local staple for a long time. What's your thinking? And you know you have a homebrew shop now, which is really cool. If you guys haven't been up to Kingston to check that out, it's great. All the merchandise, a lot of homebrew supplies. But what's been the challenge or, like, the goal as far as, like, getting the beer out to more people?
Mainly finding the right distributor. I mean,
yeah, finding the right, you know, the right partners in, you know, I have a master's degree in brewing science. Jeff's been brewing for over a decade.
And Ock also.
What's that?
From Ock also. Like, yeah. Nikki from Rushing.
Exactly. And, you know, he used to be the head brewer at Blue Point. And
did you really?
Yeah, which I know you guys are affiliated with those guys. I was actually in the Blue Point Brewery tap room this weekend.
No kidding.
Yep. I drove right up here to see you.
You guys are affiliated with the Brickhouse Brewery in Patchogue.
Yeah, my dad's one of the owners of the Brickhouse. So, you know, we had all these pieces together, and I figured that that qualified me to run a brewery. And, you know, I realized making good beer and having a glass of it in your hand is a far cry from, you know, getting your beer in 7-Elevens and supermarkets and getting shelf space and
all those details.
It's another whole job. It's another whole world. Yeah, it's a hard one.
So is it just finding the distributors that'll do it, or it's not a matter of being able to make as much, right?
Well, it's a matter of finding the right distributors that have the right penetration and have the right attitude, but they also, you know, we've got our own sales force out on the streets backing them up. And it's a matter of being out every weekend. You know, I'm here today. Yesterday, I was out all the way at the north end of
the North Fork Beer Festival.
Jeff, between Jeff and I, you know, we probably, just the two of us, do 6 events a week, every weekend. A month every week. And we've got 2 other guys. We probably run 8 or 10 events just on weekends every month. So it's just a matter of being persistent is the best word for it.
You know, here's to continue
and having
to grow.
Good partners.
And having good partners for sure.
I got a quick question for you. You guys have been in business for 10 years at this point, you said?
Correct. 10 years. This is our 10 years, right?
10 years. I mean, you know, just from talking with the people that are just kind of starting out and also the people that are kind of, like, you know, in it in a place like this, you know, they all seem to have this big passion for it. And 10 years is a long time. You know, do you still have that type of passion?
Yeah, I was just telling Tommy the other day, I worked for the brewery for over a third of my life, which is kind of crazy to think about.
Yeah, Jeff is the only employee. Like, the day I got the keys to the building and we just started building the brewery, Jeff started working with us, and he's, you know, so that's why he's running the show now. Yeah. But, yeah, it's still fun. I mean, what are my other options? Go get a day job?
Yeah, right. That's what I'm saying. Like, this is like a dream job for a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, there's worse cubicles in the world.
I know.
There are days that, you know, it's work, but
sure.
There's days that there's every job.
But it's just, I mean, 10 years. But 10 years is a long time. So it's, you know, the fun days must outweigh the business days.
Yeah, I mean, look what I'm doing on. Today I'm working overtime.
Yeah.
I'm hanging out in Chris Basso's house drinking beers.
Yeah,
you know?
That's great.
But are you getting paid time and a half is the question.
No.
I'd be happy with getting paid time. Would be a good start. Right, we're not getting rich quick, but we're having fun doing it. So.
Give it up for Tommy and Jeff from King and Al's, everybody.
Thank you, guys.
What's our final excuse, Andrea? The long-awaited. This one we did at a show we did in Patchogue at a place called Hoptron Boutique like 6 months ago. Cool. This is Newberg's Brown Ale with Cookie Crisp cereal in it. And it went over like gangbusters. We've saved it for last totally by accident. So Andrea's going to pour that right now, and hopefully you guys will enjoy that. Any questions for Tommy and Jeff from Keegan? Yeah.
Black sour being bottled.
Maybe mid to late October, September, maybe.
Yeah, another month, 6 weeks.
Oh, awesome. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
One of the beers that we are releasing is a black sour ale that we've been aging in whiskey barrels for, October will be 2 years. And
wow.
Snuck a little bit out and brought it up to the Belgian Comes to Cooperstown Festival at the Omegang Brewery.
Yeah, I was there.
You were there?
Yeah.
And it's gotten a lot of rave reviews. These two guys both have come up and obviously enjoy it. So.
Yeah, I think I did try that, actually.
I'm not a huge fan of sour beers as a rule, but this one came out pretty nice, I got to say. Jeff did a good job.
Thank you. Give it one more time for Tommy Keegan and Jeff Wenzel from Keegan Ales. Thank you, guys.
You're welcome. Nice to meet you.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
Definitely try the Hurricane Kitty aged in the Hudson Whiskey Bourbon Barrels. Synergy, people. Synergy. Thank you, Jeff.
Synergy.
Thanks, you were pouring at Omegang, weren't you, Jeff? I got some beer from you.
Andrea, don't forget about us with that cookie.
All right, that pretty much wraps it up for us. Once again, check us out online. We're mastersofnone.com. We're on iTunes. Just look us up, Masters of None. We're in the podcast section. Check out our past beer shows, our other shows we've done on different topics. Thanks again to Newberg Brewery for having us, all the breweries and distillers. Give it up one more time for all these people. Coming out for charity for St. Baldrick's. Awesome event, and don't forget to throw those tips in the tip jars. All the money is going to St. Baldrick's, and thank you guys again. Check out drinkhv.tumblr.com. It's a new blog I started up. Just going to keep up to date with all the local Hudson Valley craft beer and spirits, news and events and that kind of thing. And that's it. I'm Jay from Mike and Art. We're Masters of None.
See ya.
See ya. Thanks again.
Bye, guys. Thanks.
Don't forget to leave us a review and rating on iTunes and join us on Facebook and Twitter at Masters of None. Masters of None is brought to you by Simply Syndicated, lubricated by Blue Point Beer, and streaming live on morelikeradio.com.
Check out the website mastersofnone.com. It includes episodes, news, articles, videos, pictures, so much fucking more, man. Check them out. Masters of None. Masters of a fucking excellent domain name, I'll tell you that right now.
Father too many.
You think they had it, someone had it and they were like, we want that. I got it again.
You think they had to buy it?
I would think, man. Like you said, that's a good name.
Unless they got, they were going way far back.
Maybe they saw that.
Maybe they got it. Maybe they got it way back.
How far back?
Way back.
How far are you going to go back?
Way back. As we go around like this. All right, check them out. Mastersofnone.com.